します。Aloha, Mud Babies, Pod People, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew. Welcome back to the podcast. Hey, see, Mark Eddy is sitting over there. Mark will be the guest today, but he has never heard the intro of this podcast before. So he is laughing his ass off silently. I can watch him because he's like, Pod People, what the hell are you talking about? So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mark Eddy.
Thank you, Steve.
How are you? Man? It's a great week working with you here at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club.
It's been awesome, right?
Awesome.
Really, it's been off the hook.
Paul, Brad's brother, who we all know.
Yes.
Paul called me earlier today and said, what a great week this has been. The lineup worked incredible.
Really?
And, yeah. And
I would do it again anytime.
And that's what I told him. Yep. I told Paul, I go, if I could do this lineup again, I would totally be happy to do
Absolutely.
It again.
That's great. That's good to hear.
So cool.
Good to hear,
yeah.
Brother.
So people need to know about you, because if they're tuning in now, they're going to go, Mark who? Mark Eddy is a musician, comic, and
singer, songwriter, voiceover, actor, everything.
Yeah, so tell people.
Do it all.
Those some of your what are some of your things that you've done?
My greatest hits, huh?
Yeah.
Nick Nickelodeon. That's 4 seconds that built my house right there.
Right there?
Yeah.
The house that built me.
Nick. Yeah, that was great fun. Did a lot of commercials, jingles, things like that, you know, early on. I was doing comedy. I was dabbling in stand-up, but I was touring with bands.
Mm-hmm.
I toured with Jackson Brown, Melissa Etheridge, Toad the Wet Sprocket, a bunch of cool bands, you know, and did the circuit kind of thing. I was going to college. I was just doing burning the, you know.
Candle at every
the candle
side
at every end. Recording jingles, doing, you know, commercials. I hosted a late night TV show in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania called Date Night TV for about 5 years.
Date night?
Yeah, I was making little chitlins with my wife.
Now, I remember the very first time we met was at
the 5 o'clock, the Sun Theater. It was then the Sun Theater.
The 5 o'clock funnies for Gino Michelini.
Yep.
And we were both thinking, this is the trip to stardom, right?
He was calling it. He was like, this is your official induction into the 5 o'clock funnies Hall of Fame.
Right.
And they had Tim Allen, who was a former Hall of Fame inductee. And
who basically got his TV show from 5 o'clock funnies.
And so did Foxworthy, apparently, and a few other people that it really helped to make.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were on that same track to greatness.
I was thinking that too. And Gino, who I love and still love, wrote the liner notes for one of my comedy albums about how I did the 5 o'clock funnies, and I was on the track and stardom, and I should be a star. And,
what?
And,
oh man!
And then.
Wah, wah. It's like writing the. It's like he wrote the foreword to your book, and then he imploded. You know? Oh, man.
But Gino, I think it was not him so much as it was
pushed out by the man.
Yeah, like so many of us in radio.
Yeah.
You're a budget cut. Yeah. You know, you've been great. We appreciate it, but we can get somebody for $10 an hour now.
That's exactly it, man. Mm-hmm. And that's in all, you know, all forms of kind of, you know, that's kind of like the corporate life scenario sometimes, unfortunately, you know. It's just kind of the way it works. You know, why pay a guy, you know, $80,000 a year when you can get a guy to do the same job for $60?
Exactly.
Or less.
Yeah. And I heard from somebody just recently that every 5 years is sort of the corporate turnover these days.
Yeah.
Just 5 years?
Yeah.
That'd make me nervous working in a corporate company.
It's hard to put 20 years in anywhere. You don't hear that very often.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So,
getting that watch.
Yeah.
They want to kick you out before they have to buy you a watch.
We got to get you out of here. 5 years, you've been...
Oh, God. Did you ever see that? Well, the movie Office Space is classic.
Yeah. It was one of those that, ahead of its time, much like Idiocracy.
Yes! Oh, my God! Another favorite movie.
Is that a favorite of yours, too?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I remember seeing the previews for that in a theater and saying, I can't wait till this comes out. Then it never came out.
Straight to video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I saw it, I'm like, oh, my God, why wasn't this a monster hit? It's predicting the future.
Yeah. Yeah, and fairly accurate, isn't it? It's scary. Oh, yeah. We're dumbing down. We are dumbing down,
mm-hmm.
Steve McGrew.
I know.
Dumbing down.
And you and I have talked this week about how things need to change in America.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, I lean a little conservative. I really do. Everybody thinks, you know.
Like you're Hollywood.
You're an artist or something. Yeah, you're automatically supposed to be like this liberal, you know, this bleeding heart. And you know what? I am liberal on some things. When it comes to social issues, I'm all for, you know, put it this way. I think that gay people and women should be entitled to keep as much of their money that they earn as humanly possible. That's how I feel about gay rights. That's all I feel.
Well,
it has nothing to do with anything else. I think we all are entitled to keep more of our money.
Yeah.
I don't want government coercion and government confiscation of our income.
Thank you.
You know?
And I've said this before, and I've had people call me names over it, is because I believe in equal rights.
Yes.
Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less.
When it comes to taxes, I'm for consensual sex. They want rape.
Right, right.
And the young kids can't give their liberties away fast enough. I'm sorry.
Because they don't want to do anything, so
right.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, do whatever you need to do. Just let me sit here and play my video
games.
Study
a little bit of history, folks. That's all we're saying. Study a little bit of history.
And I have lost compassion over the years. The older I get, because I was involved in even Comic Relief. Remember that back in the 80s?
Yes, I did.
I was involved in Comic Relief, you know, homeless. And then one day I realized, fuck, I'm a paycheck away from being homeless most of my life.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean? I need to save the money I'm making. And maybe if you quit drinking, street urchin, you might...
Right.
So I kind of got harder and harder.
Right.
Especially once I cleaned up and stopped drinking. Then you realize, hey, you know what? You can do it too, asshole.
Well, that's right. You know, the legendary and esteemed economist Thomas Sowell.
Uh-huh.
Look him up. Thomas Sowell. S-O-W-E-L-L. Thomas Sowell. He was a card-carrying Marxist. I mean, back in the, you know, in the 60s and, you know, in the 70s. I mean, he was, you know, complete. And did a complete flip. I mean, grew up in Harlem. I mean, this is an African American who struggled, you know, got through college, you know, got several degrees, won awards. I mean, this guy, and then all of a sudden he went to work for the government, and that's when he made his flip. Because he cited that in one of his books, Thomas Sowell said, "It occurred to me that the government is not interested at all in solving problems."
No.
They simply want to make them bigger so they can make the government bigger and the programs bigger, so because they can never get enough money.
Right.
They will never get enough money to fund everything that they would like to do. You know, but
it's
not the way it should work, man.
I had a politician, I shouldn't name, but it was in Colorado, a prominent politician, tell me that... there hasn't been a program that got started that's ever been stopped.
Right.
And so every time one of these programs, you know, we need this. There's like 18 programs sometimes. And I heard in California there's like 20-something programs that basically do the same thing as far as feeding children, single moms, WIC children, infant food. Like pick one and stick with that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, and we're all reasonable people. We like to think anyway, you know, and you would think if you're in politics or whatever, you're a congressman or a senator and you're in there and, you know, you see this program gets, you know, passed and it gets funded and it's on its way and you look at it, you know, and you review it 4 years later, 5 years later, whatever, and you just look at it and you go, well, that sucked. That didn't work.
It didn't.
Right? It didn't. In fact, the problem got worse. I mean, you'd be a reasonable guy, right? And go, well, that program sucked. We got to replace it with something.
Yeah.
No. No, we need more money for that program.
That's what we need. We need to fix it.
We just need to fix it with more money.
We need to hire a few more people
We didn't fully fund it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I've had teachers.
With my fucking money.
Tell me Head Start has never worked. It's a good idea. It's a great premise. But the teacher has told me, two of them actually, have said Head Start does not do what it's designed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But siphon money. And you know what bugs me more and more? I had this conversation today with somebody, is that like politicians now are career politicians.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not like the old days when it was designed to go, you leave the ranch or your farm, you go to Washington, yeah. you have the
do your
the
time,
session, and then you go back to your real job.
It's service, right?
Yeah.
You're serving and you're helping, and then you go back to your practice or
yeah.
your whatever.
To you're a lawyer or a rancher or a farmer or a newspaper
right.
editor. You went
right.
back to your real job.
Oh, no. Well, this is career.
This
and
is career.
And it's passed down. Oh, we got to get my son in there, and we got to get his son. And,
yeah, because
oh
hey, and people are stupid enough to go, well, you know, he's been in office 30 years. His son has got to have picked up something by now.
Right. No, he just got dumber. Yeah, that's scary. That really is. No, definitely all for term limits. They should be in there and out of there, man. Do your thing. Do the best you can do and get out of there. Turn it over. Let someone, you know, some fresh perspective get in there and help. Yeah, that's just part of the system, man. And, you know, these guys, let's be clear. I mean, these senators and these Congress, this is money. This is big money. Their
big
salaries
money.
Are not huge. Their salaries are reasonable by all standards. But how do they become millionaires?
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We had a technical problem. Of course we do. It's in a hotel room set up. Not my basic, but my laptop freaking crashed. And while I was updating the computer, getting ready, Mark's over there playing the national anthem. And
Gives me chills every time.
Me too.
I well up every time I sing it.
I did. And I said,
sing it for events.
And I said, as soon as we get this back up, you're opening back up with
yes.
the national anthem.
Why
so,
not?
So, ladies and gentlemen, please be proud of your country.
We're just coming off of Memorial Day weekend. So
yes.
Continue the honoring. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare. That our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave? Oh, the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Son, that was amazing.
Woo.
I got goosebumps. You got soul, brother.
We rocked it out.
That
man.
Was nice.
A little edgy
that
rock
was,
and roll.
Woo!
Somewhere
how come you're not singing at anthems and not like Steven Tyler messing up the anthem?
Oh,
man.
I can't believe somebody would mess up the words.
Can you believe
man.
That?
Are they kidding?
I think there's two people. Steven Tyler did it recently. He messed up.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
no.
Or he, I don't know if he messed up the words. I heard he messed up the tune.
Oh,
and then, and I hate to say this because I'm a big fan of the Eli Young Band, a country band.
Yeah.
I heard they jumbled the words a little bit. But I think people get nervous.
You
and,
do.
And
you
on
do.
National TV, on
yes.
a ball game, in front of all of
us. I just did it Memorial Day for a big biker event. My wife and I were
yeah.
at. And my legs started, like, shaking, man. Like right at the bridge, you know.
Yeah.
And the rockets, red glare. I mean, you just get like.
Well, everybody knows and waits for that note.
Yes.
Everybody knows. Is he going to make the note?
Yeah.
Is he going to do the.
Yeah.
Yeah. And.
Land of the free. I guess I could go on top of it.
Yeah. But.
Oh, what a song.
Now, should
man.
We say that you've been about the national anthem?
Well, it's been my name's in the hat, put it that
That's
way.
That's what I know it's
my
in the hat.
My name's in the hat, it hasn't, you know, has nothing's been confirmed.
Yeah.
Nothing's been confirmed, but there's a potential that I may be singing the banner for a Trump rally in California, nonetheless.
What? You're going to sing at a Trump rally in California?
I'd be happy.
You might get matered.
I might get matered. Well, you know, hey, I mean, you know, hey, come on. If you mater somebody singing the Star Spangled Banner, I don't care any event. You wait till that's over, at least.
Now, why do you think so many people are hiding, are like closet Trump fans? I mean, we have to admit, people have to say, you know, he is the nominee. If you're a Republican,
he's a little rough. He's a little rough, and there's times where he's got a little bit of bullshit, you know, factor. But I think he says what everybody's thinking, and is afraid to say in public. I think most of these politicians, Democrat and Republican,
right,
would love to say some of the shit that he's saying.
Oh, yeah.
Would love to. And but they would never do it because it would risk their careers.
If you watch some of the people on TV when they're discussing politics and they'll say, what do you think about what Trump said? And you see the guy sitting there smiling.
Smirk. He's always a
he's
smirk.
He's got a smirk. Like he's smiling like, I wish I could say it. I have to disagree with what he said, but...
He's speaking a little out of turn. Well, you know, I mean, hey, whatever's going to happen. I mean, I kind of think he's going to get it. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting race. That's one thing. Interesting.
I think, and so many people say, and when you see people burning the American flag, throwing eggs at women, waving a Mexican flag, that's nothing but forcing people to vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's weird how they don't want to just argue. If you don't like him, show that your candidate's better.
Right.
Than
right.
Intimidation.
You know, and you know, and quite honestly, I mean, the GOP had plenty of chances to get their shit together early on, and they didn't. And you know, I'm not saying like, well, now this is what you get, but in a sense,
but this is what you get.
You know, I mean, they couldn't put a candidate up that anybody could really fully get behind.
Right.
I just don't know, man. It's an interesting situation. And then, you know, on the Democratic side, you know, you've got Hillary, and she's got all this, but she's like, you talk about the Teflon Don. I mean, she's Teflon, man. That woman has. You think about, I mean, she's got the political life of a cockroach, for Christ's sake.
I know. I
mean, the woman just, it doesn't matter what they throw at her. She just parries it left, parries it right.
Well, you know, they've never proved it. That's one of the things you always hear.
You know,
they never proved it.
That is absolute nonsense. And then, you know, but she's very shrewd. She's very powerful. Those Clintons are powerful. Don't rule them out. You know, I mean.
It's money power, though. It's scared power.
Yeah.
It's that.
But see, what's happened is exactly the opposite. What they were talking about, they were talking about the Republican Party being divided. There's still some divisiveness there, but they talk about the Republicans, the GOP, this is going to divide.
The Never Trumps.
You know, it's going to be all these candidates. And then finally, now they got their, now it's the Democratic Party that's divided. Because a lot of these young kids are not going to vote for Hillary.
No.
They're going to vote. They're going to vote for someone else. Or.
I think the Bernie phenomenon is funny to me because all these young kids and college students are all like for Bernie. And if you're for progressive and something new, voting in a 70-something-year-old guy that's been around in politics forever
preaching socialism. Yeah, you know, it's not a new it's nothing new. Yeah.
It's like they just want the free shit. That's what it comes down to. And for this.
Yeah. And he's funny and, you know, he can do great impressions.
He's great on Saturday Night Live.
He's great on SNL. Yeah,
but how do people not look at what's going on in South America right now?
Yeah.
And say, look, it's not working. Greece is broke. Part of Europe, which they're trying to say, well, look at them. We should be more like them.
Really?
They're broke and falling apart.
Yeah.
Immigration over there is causing riots and rapes.
Right.
And,
Denmark, Denmark. That's all I ever hear. Denmark. Go to freaking Denmark. They're not that happy.
Yeah.
I guarantee you they're not that happy. They pay 75% taxes, like my cousins in Italy.
That's what we were talking about last night, was Italy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mess, and the countries are broke, and they're not, least of all, Denmark. Don't bring Denmark up in the same conversation as the United States of America. Denmark is not a world power.
Maybe
they don't
Finland,
have the same,
but not Denmark.
Maybe Finland. Maybe Sweden.
Yeah,
pretty girls. But anyway, yeah, Iceland's got the most beautiful. But
I've always thought it's odd that Iceland is beautiful and Greenland is frozen.
Right. Well, you know who told me the story, and he's really a history buff. I'm going to get it totally wrong. But Michael Loftus, you know Michael?
Yeah, I know Michael. Okay. Yeah, he's got the show now.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, History Loftus. Channel. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy. But he told me a story about, he said, he toured over there, apparently. He went over to Iceland. And he said that what happened was there was some, I'm going to get this all wrong, but basically, I'm going to give you the nuts and the bolts, what I think. But it was the explorer that discovered the Greenland and Iceland. And when he got back to, I don't know where it was, Spain or wherever, they were pissed, and he did something wrong along the way. He went way over budget or something, and so they said, well, they're going to banish him, you know, and they're going to basically exile. They you know, and so at the last minute, he switched the two names around.
Just as a FU,
and the kind of thing. And they said, well, we're going to send you to Iceland because it sounded horrible, right? And they go, exiled to one of the places you discovered, and worse yet, we're going to send you to Iceland. So they sent him to Iceland. He got the last laugh because Iceland's beautiful.
Good for him. Yeah. That's right up there with the way parents discipline kids today with, you've been bad. Go to your room where all your shit is.
Yeah. Well, so anyway. So, yeah, so here we are, man. We're in Las Vegas.
And loving every minute. So tell me more about your story. Let's hear more about what got you into comedy. I know you were a magician.
A magician.
I'm a magician. I make crowds disappear. that's what I do. So you were playing music, and did you just kind of... And I know other guys that played music. Yeah. They fronted a band. They kind of got used to being the front guy and telling stories.
That was kind of like me. Yeah, I was doing that for a while, you know, all through high school. And then I got into college, and I was playing in college bands and stuff like that. And then I kind of like just started on these little summer tours. I got picked up, you know, went out on the road with Jackson Browne, Melissa Etheridge.
Did you open for them, or did you need to learn their songs?
I was opening for them as an opening act, and... And they kind of took me under the wing a little bit, you know, as a songwriter. I thought, boy, this is it. I'm gonna
if I write a song with Jackson Browne, I'll be rich forever.
Right, right, exactly. So so I did that for like, and that was one thing. And then all of a sudden, I was singing jingles at the same time because I had that musical ability, and I could make a buttload of money singing jingles and commercials and promos for networks and restaurants and, you know, just everything I could get my hands on money-wise and do everything. And then I landed on the Nickelodeon, you know, 4 seconds I built my house, I tell everybody. And I did the Nickelodeon, one of the Nickelodeon themes, a couple of the Nickelodeon jingles and drops and things like that for this new network. And The new network, Nickelodeon. Hey, kids, did you know Nickelodeon has toys and games and stuff for you? So,
one of the very first digital cameras that I ever bought was a Nickelodeon digital camera. It looked like slime. It was green like slime, and it was like 50, 60 bucks, something like that. It held 16 pictures.
Oh wow!
And I at the time I'm like, well, if I can get, I don't even care. I just want something I can snap and so I can put it up on my Prodigy account.
My Prodigy.
Did you have
my Commodore 64?
Yeah. So that was the very first Nickelodeon purchase of mine. What was your first internet account? Prodigy? Were you Prodigy?
I was
Netscape?
Gateway. And then I just really, I started with those free AOL hours, you know?
Me too.
I still have my AOL account to this day.
Oh, I do. That's my email.
That's my email too.
I have MSN. And AOL.
That's crazy.
And people are like, I can't believe you still have AOL.
Yeah.
Why do you mean you can't believe it? Because it works.
It works.
I've had it since the beginning.
I don't care.
Every business I've ever worked with has it.
Right.
Every club owner has it.
It's nice and short, too. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's AOL.com.
Yeah.
It's not like Netscape, SBC Global, you know, like all this bullshit.
Yeah. Well, you could gmail.com or...
Well, that's five letters.
Well, when people... I'm always amazed when people change email addresses.
Five letters.
How do you let everybody know you count in letters?
I know. How do you let everybody know?
Yeah, you mean, it's one thing to let a few people know, hey, I'm changing my email account, but if you've used it for 10 years and all of a sudden you go, I need a new hipper, you've got to just... How does everybody know? Just pick one and stick with it, is what I say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I get every once in a while, all the time, this email will no longer be active. Yeah. I will now be at SB Global Net or whatever.
Yeah, I know, man. It's bullshit. I don't know.
AOL was free. It's still free.
Yep.
And it works.
And it works. That's right.
I'm actually, I'm McGrew at MSN.com.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, because I was a tester. I was on AOL, and I got a thing, a friend that was working with MSN, and I became a tester before it even went live.
What?
So, yeah, and I got McGrew at MSN.com. And if you try it now, McGrew at anything, it's McGrew like 1005269 at... Like,
there's that many.
Yeah, you can't get McGrew, just McGrew.
No.
And most people can't do that anymore. Most people can't get their names anymore.
I know. You know, I was a little unfortunate where that was concerned. I wanted to get Mark Eddy at AOL, but I couldn't get Mark Eddy. There's a Mark Eddy out there at AOL, and he wouldn't give me the
Did you contact him?
I did. I contacted him. He asked me who he is. He said, no, sorry. Yeah, it's my thing. It's kind of my name. And
it's kind of my name.
It's kind of my name. So I had to go with a little.
Well, there was a SteveMcGrew.com when I was looking for my website.
Yeah.
And SteveMcGrew.com was a realtor.
Oh.
It was already taken. And I was like, oh. So I kept an eye on it. And then he
let it slide?
I stole it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're selling houses like a motherfucker.
But I kind of felt bad, but I didn't. I mean, your job is to keep track of your
right.
net address.
Exactly. And he let his GoDaddy go.
Yeah.
His GoDaddy got up and get.
Yeah. And so when it came to Remasculate, when I started the podcast, I got on GoDaddy and did the, I'll take remasculate.net, .com, .org, I started just grabbing everything.
I like that.
Yeah, sometimes you have to. And then there was another call that offered you something. Did you know there's remasculate.tv available? Well, I'm not a TV show, but maybe I should take it. You never know. What is your website?
My website is just markeddy.com. That's
you got all. It. You're lucky.
Yeah, but I had to buy all the spellings, too, because people spell my name E-D-D-Y. Or E-D-D-Y. So I bought Mark Eddy, but it's markeddie.com. Yeah, check it out.
And you have all your tour dates,
all my stuff,
your merch and CDs,
my CDs, my blogs, my this, my that. Yeah, some videos.
Uh huh.
Cool old stuff. Yeah.
Do you have a? Because we're talking topics and local stuff. Do you have a Muhammad Ali story? Because apparently, from what I've learned, I'm the only person that's never met him.
I haven't met him. I didn't meet him.
What?
And I never saw him fight. No, but I don't have a Muhammad Ali story. I guess when I was a little kid, I asked somebody why they wear their pants up so high. Because like to me, it just seemed like they were wearing their trunks up to their middle of their chest or something.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, why do they wear their trunks so high? I don't know. That's my Muhammad Ali story.
Because he wore his fighting trunks right under his boobies.
Yeah, he wore like right under his boobies. You know, they were like way up there.
I hadn't even thought about it, but now I'm pictured it in my head. I remember. Yeah, he had him kind of high.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe that the moose knuckle threw off his fighting part. Like
he was this close from a camel toe. You know what I mean?
Man, we're going to be in trouble now. He was an icon.
No, he was, of course. I know. Come on, folks. We're comics. And we're in Vegas. Come on.
Now, are you a fan of boxing, real boxing, like this kind of boxing? Or are you an MMA kind of guy?
I respect boxing immensely. And it is, of course, was a big fan of Ali and, all the other, Holyfield and all these other, guys, so.
Mike Tyson,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mike, hi Mike.
So, but, MMA is fucking cool, man. Come on. Does it get cooler than Conor McGregor?
Oh, and I know.
Conor.
I like to hear him talk, but...
I'm gonna... But, it's gonna be your girlfriend. You're gonna be so happy. The money's gonna fly in when I take your fight. You're gonna go home and say, "Honey, get the red panties out tonight. We done struck it rich. He took the fight." He's just such a goofball.
Well,
I love him.
I can appreciate that. But the thing about MMA is it doesn't seem like a gentleman sport to me. Well, boxing always seemed like, you know, you square off, you had these rules. This is just like, hey, I can kick your ass. We might as well be in a street fight. You know, it's kind of gladiator-like to me in a way.
It is, for sure. But what you got to realize, too, is these guys are skilled martial artists. I mean, these guys are skilled jiu-jitsu experts.
Right, but the fans aren't.
No, they're not. But, I mean... I don't know. I guess, you know, boxing is kind of like the, you know, you get dressed up and go to the boxing match and it's so civilized. But I mean, MMA is just, it's just real
you
combat.
You
want to
be ringside,
man.
And get blood on you.
It's real combat. And these guys are skilled at it. You don't dare step in that ring as you would with a boxing match as well. But I mean, I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. And it's interesting to watch the different styles of fighting. And, there are times when it reminds me a little bit, well, the whole thing just reminds me of studio wrestling sometimes, you know?
Oh, really. It does? Like real?
Even boxing. I mean, they hype it up so much, and there's this one and that, and they go at each other, and then MMA takes it even further.
And then I'll bleed when it hits me.
Yeah.
Just a little slight cut.
But it just seems so almost, you know... not real, but I think it is. I think it's pretty, you know, I don't know. We'll have to ask Joe Rogan that question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Joe's
yeah.
really into it.
Well, did you stay and watch Mike Tyson's show the other night?
My wife and I stayed and watched the entire thing.
The Undisputed Truth, which is playing here at the MGM.
Yes.
What was your take?
Well, he's definitely not an actor or a comic. So he's trying to, you know, he's trying to, like, work a script. I think he'd be better off just talking off the cuff, quite frankly. I think he would almost be better just having bullet points and just say what he wants and get it off of his chest. Because he's trying to crack jokes and things, and they're not landing real well half the time.
And when a joke lands, though, he's got some good jokes.
Yeah.
But there was other times, I totally agree with you.
Just like walked over on top of the laughter. But you know, all that aside, it was riveting. And it was exciting. And my wife and I really, we were kind of like, we were waiting for a little bit more at the end. Like, we wanted to hear something like the kind of...
A crescendo.
Yes. Something to kind of, you know... Something good, a good ending, like to really bring it in, like yeah, all that happened, and I went through all that money, but I have my life, you know.
And then the curtains opened up,
yeah.
And there was a choir behind
choir,
him,
and his wife comes out.
And they sing. And the boo.
Do We All the World, and yeah.
Something big like
something
that,
big.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, instead it was kind of like, that's it, and that's it, and that's that, and, you know, and it was good, though, you know, We left kind of just going, wow, that was interesting. That was really interesting. And it's such a intimate venue, too. I mean,
yeah.
We got to see it. Like
he's performing in the same club that we are.
Right.
The same theater. I
What's
say,
the
not
seating
club theater.
About 300 seats,
yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you no bad seats. You
right.
know? And when he walked out, you could just feel the room just, it's really him.
I know.
It's Mike Tyson.
It took me about a half hour just to get over that. Like,
that you were
really,
watching.
Really him.
Yeah.
And he didn't
tattoo
look bad.
At all.
He looked good. He was kind of like, you know, like you're like, all right, man, this guy's, you know. And I mean, for all that sake and purposes, all he's been through, man, the dude is, you know, he's held up well. I mean, you know, I know he's, you know, he's got his problems and his demons and stuff. And that's sort of the whole thing that we were thinking at the end, because he was sort of saying that, look, I got my problems. I got my demons, you know. I've been through a lot. You know, but look, given where he's been from and what he's been through, the fact that he's even still like...
Were you surprised how hard he went after real people?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was tearing up Robin Givens.
Oh, yeah.
And
Don King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just... I was sitting there thinking, is he going to get sued?
I know, right? I don't know, yeah.
Calling
I
mean, him names.
I know, because that's all, like, you know... Can't you, like, isn't that, like, defamation or...
Right. Unless it's absolutely the truth... Which it probably may, it probably is.
It's his truth.
It's his truth.
It's all.
But when he was talking about Robin Givens and
and the cooties.
Yeah, man.
I got a little uncomfortable.
Didn't it?
Yeah. I was like, really? TMI.
And how
man.
She was working on a career that never made it and stills never made it. And
When he's talking about the diseases and stuff, I was like, that's a little too much information, man. I don't think I ever wanted that much information on it.
Little bit more, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when he started talking and putting on the wig, doing the...
Yeah, that was a little odd.
Wasn't that odd? Yeah. Putting the wig about the guy. And then he was dancing like this at me. He was doing this.
Yeah. And another one bites the dust, you know.
But you know that thing where that boxer that he, when he knocked his eye out, what was his name?
What was his name? Oh, Lord. I'm having a brain.
Yeah. But that event is really what made Steve Harvey famous. I don't know if you remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he did a whole bit on it?
Yeah.
Really?
Steve Harvey, we had all worked in basically the same club, and Steve's always been a great comic, so this is, and not a slam against Steve in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, every comic gets that one bit. Like Foxworthy came up with You Might Be a Redneck, and it just took him to the top.
Right.
Steve Harvey started doing this thing about he became that other guy's eyeball. And he used to, I'll tell you what happened. Mike Tyson. And he had this whole thing where he pretended to be that other guy's eyeball.
Oh, my God.
And it was a killer. That bit killed in the clubs.
What?
And people were loving it. And when I saw Tyson talking about it the other night, I went, oh, my God. I remembered Steve Harvey doing that. I'll tell you what happened. Yeah, so everybody's got that one thing.
Yeah, man, that's right.
And if anybody listening, if you remember that Steve Harvey bit or know where to find it, please email it to me.
Post it, yeah.
Yeah, that the Mike Tyson knocked out the eyeball bit. And I didn't remember that he actually knocked it out. Because remember the picture he showed?
Yeah.
It was like the guy's eye was sewed shut or whatever the shit was.
Yeah.
Remember? I thought he just hit him in the eye or jacked up his eye.
But really knocked it out?
I think it knocked it out.
How can you knock an eyeball out of a...
Because Tyson was an animal.
He was
an
animal.
He was an animal.
Right.
I mean, those days, he was just that unbeatable, unstoppable. You know, I remember reading about how would anybody even want to get in the ring with... After so many knockouts...
Yeah.
How many people go, I guess I'll take him on. No, you won't, idiot.
Right.
Unless you just want that money that you know. I step in there, I take an ass kicking, I'm walking out with a couple $1 million.
Maybe, yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I don't know, man. That you'd have to have some pretty big balls to get in there.
Yeah. I sat in there at the Tyson show with the guy I shared the booth with. Is a British boxer, a professional. I can't remember
really?
His name, but he friended me on Facebook after the show. Big guy, Britain.
Yeah.
And I go, I kept leaning. Go, you should stand up and call Tyson a pussy and challenge him to a fight. And he goes, nah, mate, I can't do it. I go, that's how they would do it in the movies. Isn't that how they
Come
would
on.
Do it?
I got the camera. Say, I got the camera. We'll be on TMZ tomorrow.
Isn't that how it would have? If he just stood up and went, I think everything you're saying is a lie. You're a pussy.
Yeah.
You know. And
don't
just,
give me that, you snotty faced heap of ferret droppings.
Yeah, yeah.
And little just, Monty Python slapping.
Yeah, and challenge him to a fight right in the room. He'd have been a
shut
he'd have been a star overnight.
Overnight, man.
Oh, I kept egging him on. He kept finally going, shh, I'm listening.
Did you make it through? Did you make it through the
I didn't make it all the way. I hate to say, I didn't make it all the way to the end.
Yeah.
But only basically, it wasn't Tyson or the show. It was just that I was tired.
Oh, yeah.
I had done a show. I had traveled. I was tired. So.
You just did a solid hour on stage, and that's understandable.
Well, thank you.
I was with my wife. We just kind of wanted to we were curious. She was curious. I had seen the HBO version that Spike Lee directed.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was pretty good. This was kind of elements of that, but it was really different.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought. Compared to the HBO version, it was really done differently. Now, the HBO version, of course, you had the benefit of editing, and there were a lot of...
More visuals.
There was a little more visuals. Yeah, exactly. So it's not really fair to compare, I don't think the live, you know, with the HBO. I did enjoy the HBO version. I thought it was very good. And the stage version, I thought, you know, it was just, you know, it was raw. You know, it was live. So it was Mike live. So, and the sound was, you know, probably not, you know. He's using this
the
this
little headset.
Kind of,
and
yeah.
I had trouble understanding.
And it's a substandard one. It's not even a really good one. Like, a really good one costs, you know, I mean, he should spend the money and buy a real, that was just my critique, you know, as a musician. Buy a serious, really serious headset and use some other gear that you can use that will bring the voice out and the bottom end and, you know, other things like that. It'll help enhance that. So that's one of my other little critiques, was that the sound, you know, his voice just kind of sounded a little thin and a little wimpy in, mm-hmm. in the microphone live, you know.
Yeah. So,
he does have that. He does have that voice. And sometimes he talks to
him. And then he get big. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
then
he'd dance. That was the other thing that cracked me up. Every once in a while, he would just randomly dance.
I'm so sensitive. It's just sensitive, Mike Tyson.
So anyway,
but it was exciting to see.
Yeah.
Who is somebody that you would love to see that you haven't seen? Comic, musician, band. Who's on your bucket list of I've got to see this person? I don't care what it costs me.
Wow. You know, that's a great, great question. Wow. I'll tell you. I don't know. I mean, there's so many good artists out there that I haven't seen, like mm-hmm. Bruno Mars, for example. I've never seen Bruno Mars. I heard he tears it up. I mean, old school fashion, just really
yeah.
rips it up. I would love to see him. Haven't. I haven't seen a lot. I mean, like, I'm a musician. You and I are performers, so you know.
We miss a lot of shows.
We come to Vegas, we don't get to see shows.
No.
That was really an anomaly that we were able to go sneak into
Tyson
show.
It's like tonight. Vinnie Paul from Pantera.
I know Vinny.
Vinny is playing in town tonight. Hell Yeah is playing in town.
And yeah.
He sent me a message and said, hey, if you're in town, come to the show. I am, but I'm working, so I'm missing a show.
He was dating a girl in Pittsburgh at the time. I met him. He saw my show in Pittsburgh. This is years ago, dude. And he and I hung out after the show a little bit. We were talking about music in general. And actually, he's the one that kind of that 1-2 thing that I do with the uh-huh. heavy metal. You know, the die. That was based on a conversation with Vinnie Paul. And it's one of my little signature bits that I do in my show.
Ah, well.
Yeah.
But their new album, his band Hell Yeah has a new album mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. And one of the first songs off the album, if you haven't heard it yet, is the cover of Phil Collins' I Don't Care Anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a heavy metal version.
I don't care anymore.
Dude. Do do, you know that?
Yeah,
yeah, it's great. I would have never thought that a heavy metal band.
A lot of
would
heavy
cover.
Metal bands are doing like covers and doing them well. Disturbed has a cover of The Sound of Silence. In fact, their new album is entitled. Well, sorry,
that's okay.
Their new album is entitled The Sound of Silence. And there's a cover on there, and it's not.
You mean like "Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend"?
Yeah, and look it up. You can Google it.
Uh-huh.
Look it up. They performed it recently, as recent as like March of this year, on. Oh God, what show was it on? I think it was on Conan. They were on Conan O'Brien's show. Disturbed,
yeah,
and they did, and they,
is it,
I know Mike Wengren, the drummer, is a friend of mine. I met him in Milwaukee this past year.
It's really good.
Good, yeah, and the whole album is good.
Yeah.
But their version of "The Sound of Silence" by Simon and Garfunkel.
So
is
now
very well
the next KTEL album will be a collection.
KTEL presents the greatest remakes of heavy metal bands.
Yeah, yeah. I don't
songs.
Care anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, darkness, my old friend.
Yes.
You'll
get all the classics like Metallica's version of Stairway to Heaven.
There's a lady who's sure all the glitters is gold, and she's die from heaven.
It's gonna be a little different.
Yeah.
A little different.
Yeah. Do you have another one for the K-Tail collection? Is there another song that...
I don't know. You can do anything, man. You can do, think of a song and we'll remake it right now.
Girl from Ipanema. do you know the way to San Jose?
I like that, maybe. I don't.
Yes! Yes!
Yes!
In a roundabout, the middle days, and out and out, don't you be your way! Oh, put it on and do the money, do the money, funny!
In and around the lake. Okay.
I met. Oh, this is me name dropping. years ago, I met Rick Wakeman from Yes, the keyboard. He hosted a comedy show in England, Jonglers, Evening at Jonglers. It was much like Evening at the Improv, but it was and he loves comedy.
Nice.
So
nice.
Small world. I'm sitting next to I'm sitting on a plane just recently, and. And I don't recognize who I'm sitting next to, and I absolutely should. And now I can't even. I just blanked on the name. Famous violinist played with Frank Zappa. Frank Zappa.
Oh my God!
French guy. French.
Oh my God!
You know who I'm talking?
Yeah, I know the guy. It's crazy. I can't think of his name. Huh?
Jean-Luc Ponty.
No. Oh, geez, man.
But anyway, I'm sitting next to him. I don't recognize him, and he's traveling with the singer from Yes.
Okay.
And he's sitting across.
John Anderson. Yeah.
Yeah, he's sitting across the aisle, and we were talking about bands, and he said, "Yeah, I've been traveling with the singer from Yes." And I go, "Oh, I know Rick Wakeman," and the other John Anderson leans over and goes, "Oh, I know him." I didn't recognize him because everybody's gotten older.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it was like, there was like the violinist, who I can't think of his name, goes, and this is, it's the Anderson something band. They've come together and joined together, and they're traveling. And I felt like I'm supposed to recognize people.
Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah. And they're like, well, if you'd like tickets to come see our show in Boulder.
Oh, my God, dude, that's crazy. That is nuts. I love when we fly and we sit next to.
Because you never know who you're going to sit next to.
No.
And at the same point, why are these guys sitting in coach with me?
Right. Right. You would have think they travel enough they can get some updates.
That's John Anderson, the lead singer of Yes. You know
they made. It is Jean-Luc Ponty.
It's Jean-Luc. Yeah, I thought it was Jean-Luc Ponty. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's the Ponty Anderson band or something like that.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't recognize either one of them.
Oh, that's crazy.
So, if y'all, I know you're not listening. So, if you're listening, I'm sorry. If anybody knows them, tell them I'm sorry.
Yes.
So, have you had any weird
brushes
like that where you've actually.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've had a few, man, like crazy things. I'm trying to think. recently worked with. Oh my God, now I'm blanking.
Now you got to Google too.
I got to Google everybody.
We're getting to that age.
it was Jeff Daniels.
And, oh yeah.
We were at a dinner and I'm going to sound like I'm name dropping because we did it with C. Thomas Howell has this show that he put together and it's called Storytellers.
Yeah.
So he includes me in that. We did this benefit for charity organization called This Time Tomorrow Foundation in Milwaukee, and it was a great evening of music and the arts and storytelling and the whole thing. And so C. Thomas Howell kind of produces the show, kind of puts it, you know, puts the group of us together. And Jeff Daniels was there with the Jeff Daniels band or the Kyle Daniels band, his son. And so anyway, it was just interesting because we got to play. I found out that, you know, he's not just a phenomenal actor. But he is an amazing musician. In fact, he's probably a musician songwriter first. He
writes
really awesome songs, man. And who would know Jeff Daniels, you know, the actor. So,
So he was really cool, and we were really nice. He, the Dumb and Dumber, we took the Dumb and Dumber picture, and we took some selfies and stuff like it. Yeah, like
the faces. You. My Jeff Daniels story, I actually have one.
Oh, okay.
In Detroit, they do.
Yeah, he's from Michigan.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was in Detroit, and Tim Allen and these guys all do a golf charity thing, and my partner was Jeff Allen.
Oh.
Jeff Daniels. Sorry,
Jeff Daniels.
I don't play golf, but I was one of the. I was supposed to be on the celebrity because I was working the comedy club, yeah. And Mark Ridley was involved.
Right.
You know, that whole kind of.
Right.
I don't play well at all. I don't play.
I don't either.
And
yeah.
He started getting annoyed with me because he's really good.
Yeah, and then these guys are kind of serious.
And I
they want to win.
Yeah,
they really.
And I was sucking. I mean, I was missing the ball and hitting
hacking
it into
the course,
hacking it up, and I could tell. And finally, I said to him, "I go, we're playing best ball, so your ball is the one that's counting. Mine is not counting it." And he sort of lightened up, and then we got to chatting, and I wanted to know what it was like to work with
everybody
that he'd worked with. But
what's it like to fucking suck face with Melody Griffith?
That was my question. That was, remember that movie?
Yeah,
Wild Thing. Yeah, and that was one of my first questions.
Holy
I go,
shit,
what was
dude.
It like doing that movie? Because it was, I remember it being just crazy.
Dude, he banged her like a screen door in a hurricane in that movie.
The bad guy was the guy from Goodfellas was the bad guy.
Yeah.
In it. Look at us not remember names the entire fucking podcast.
Ray Liotta.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of my favorite movies of that time. So,
that was
a great
movie.
He
played such a great role. He was so straight and so like kind of. You know, I thought he was really, really good. Yeah, and everything. I really do admire his work. He does great work. I mean, he was in The Martian. He was in
The Newsroom. The latest thing that he was doing was, and I love that speech.
Will McAvoy. Yeah, yeah.
The speech is on the internet of why America is not the greatest anymore.
Yeah, America's not the greatest thing. Yeah, and he did a good job with that. And he was like, Alan Sorkin. You know, he was telling me we were talking. You know. Intimately over dinner too. I mean, we, him and me, and see Thomas Howell, and we're getting ready to do this.
Which is another actor I think is much underrated.
Thomas Howell, very underrated actor. Phenomenal work on Southland, even on TV, and he played the Reaper on Criminal Minds. And, he always plays these bad guys. Now he's going to be the guy in LBJ, the new movie LBJ. He's Walter, the guy's name escapes me, but he was the aide to President Johnson, you know, and...
He's getting some good work again.
Oh, yeah.
Because for a while, it was you could go to any Red Box and, another C. Thomas Howell movie.
Yeah, but you know what, man? He's like a behind-the-scenes guy, too. He's real involved in producing and directing. I mean, you know, he's like this with Francis Ford Coppola. Yeah. I mean, you know,
who did The Outsiders?
Of course, that was when he was very young. He was Pony Boy, and Pony Boy Curtis, and Greasers Man.
I read that book when I was in the seventh grade.
Yeah, right.
S.E. Like Hinton. I think it was required.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember I wasn't even a big reader at the time. You know, things you're required to read.
Yeah.
But I started reading that book and I finished it. I stayed up all night to read. There was something about that book that really touched me as a teenage kid.
I think it did. I think it touched everybody. A lot of people in different ways. Like, you know, because it was kind of like our generation's West Side Story.
Maybe. Yeah, and America's West Side Story.
Yeah.
It was kind of set. I think, believe it was set in Oklahoma.
Right.
Yeah.
Somewhere like that. Yeah. So it was really interesting. The characterizations in there and everything. So,
and if you look at all the actors that were in there, they all went on to much bigger careers. It was Tom Cruise,
Patrick Swayze.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Matt Dillon, all of them. You know, incredible work after that. So.
And here we are in a hotel room talking into a podcast. We know famous people.
That's right.
Do you ever look at your life and just be amazed at, I mean,
I am.
Well, I mean, we get paid for what we enjoy to do.
This is
but
right.
We hang out with some, you know, like...
artists. We're all kind of, yeah.
But we have friends. I mean, they're actual friends.
Friends in the business, yeah. They're actors, writers,
like my girlfriend. Who are you talking to? Oh, I was talking to Joe Bonzo from the Oak Ridge Boys.
What? Right.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. You know, the other day, I contacted Jenna Elfman to be on my podcast.
Yeah,
she's like,
I love Jenna. Oh, my God.
Sure, glad to. But people are like... You know these people?
She's one of my favorite
people. Of mine, too.
Oh, my God.
But it's this industry. We all have connections. It's a friend of a friend, or you meet each other at a party, or, you know? It's, And so when somebody said, you...
It just happens.
You know them?
You know them? Yeah, they say that to me a lot, actually. I get a lot of friends. One of my really good friends, our close friends, for my wife and I are friends with, she and her husband, is Chrissy Swanson, the actress, the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and many other roles. I mean, she's just a great person and a great actress, and she still works, and she's still, you know, at it, you know. And there's a lot of great, just a lot of interesting, great people out there you get to meet. Robbie Krieger's a buddy of mine, you know.
From the Doors.
Original founding member of the Doors. I do lots of shows, you know, lots of, you know, his event every year is a big, big golf tournament. It raises money for... St. Jude Children's Research Hospitals. He's just an amazing guy. I mean, a prolific, you know, musician, songwriter. I mean, this is a guy that wrote, you know, Light My Fire, you know, and I'm involved with him in, you know, various ways and various capacities.
How weird does that make? I mean, like, that's an iconic song.
Yeah.
The Doors, an iconic band. You can't go to a Hot Topic or somewhere that there's not a t-shirt or...
Yeah.
And you're like, that's my buddy.
Right.
That's my...
I know. It's funny. It really is kind of funny. It's a little bit funny.
To name drop slightly, the first time I ever got to work with the Beach Boys, I did a run at Caesar's Palace years ago. It was the year that Kokomo was the number one hit because they were out back promoting, and I was opening.
Yeah,
and I was sitting on the side of the stage, just in awe that I shared a stage. This was the band that I grew up with, bought every freaking album, you know. And then Mike Love comes over. I was sitting there, and he comes over and goes, "Yeah, keep watching. You might learn something, kid." And then I'm like, was that a boost or a slam? I'm not sure.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know how to... Well,
who cares?
Yeah, it was Mike Love spoke to me.
Man. Well, you know, we all... I name drop, you name drop. But you know who the biggest name dropper is?
Who?
Springsteen.
Is he really?
That motherfucker.
Really? Does he name drop a lot? Or?
I'm just fucking...
Yeah, because he is Springsteen.
That was a joke, folks.
Now, let's take it back to Springsteen's perfect transition, because Springsteen has pissed off a lot of people I know lately with his politics. There's people that go, just sing your fucking songs.
Yeah.
And the same thing now just happened with the Dixie Chicks. I don't know if you saw this. The Dixie Chicks are going back on tour, but their backdrop is a picture of Trump with devil horns.
Oh, my God.
And people are saying, we were going to buy tickets, not going to. We were going to give you another chance. Because we love your music, not going.
Wow.
So, what do you think about that?
I don't know why we have to demonize people so much. I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm going to speak out of turn here. I don't know, man. But you know, we demonize people for things, you know, speaking their mind or doing things that, you know, that they think are right. And It's just so disheartening. But I don't think that that's smart of them to do that. I really don't. But, you know, then again, we live in America. You are entitled to your free speech and your opinion on just about anything. So, you know, maybe I almost feel like, you know, because I can disagree with my a lot of my really liberal friends, you know, we can disagree and we can still be friends.
Yeah.
So even though I disagree with the Dixie Chicks, doesn't mean I hate their music and, you know, I wouldn't go to their show. I probably wouldn't enjoy seeing a big, you know, thing of Trump with horns on the stage. But you know, I mean, that's their expression and they're free to do it. And so I would fight and die for their freedom to have that opinion, I guess, is my answer.
Yeah, because I keep hearing some people go, well, you know, you alienate 50% of your audience if you do this, if you say that, if you do. And then there's other times you go, but my soul tells me I need to speak up.
Mm-hmm. then good.
You know
then,
I mean? Speak up. Because you feel sort of the same way, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Then speak up and speak your mind. And I guess just take the consequences. I mean, it's unfortunate that it has to be so polarized in our society nowadays that you can speak your mind on something and it's going to cost you 50% of your... Of your fan audience. Base or your audience.
Or it may cost you Hollywood or a movie. Me, that's what people said to me, you know.
I know,
well,
but
they find out you're a conservative, they may not want to cast you at all.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not getting cast now.
Now, so whatever, Exactly. I know, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like this, man. I don't care. People have different opinions than me, and we hash things out. I've been educated on things that I didn't agree with initially, and other things I've convinced other people. And we can do that sometimes with freedom of talking and freedom of opinion. Doesn't mean I stop shopping at somebody's store or stop buying their records or stop being their friend or stop inviting them over to cookouts. I mean, I don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't do that to my friends now.
Yeah.
A lot of them are we're all across the gambit. As I've got liberal Democratic friends. I've got conservative Democrat friends. I've got liberal Republican friends. I've got conservative Republican friends. So, you know, we're a big country, and there's a lot of fans. And it's unfortunate that it has to be so polarized, though. I think that we need to open up the dialogue a little bit, be able to talk, get over it. Whoever gets into office, let's get behind them the best we can and hope for the best and then move on.
Well, I think it is the intelligent people can get along like you're saying. Like, if you can have – I was telling you last night that one of my liberal, big liberal friends, we argue back and forth. But he'll go, I see your point. And I can say, I see your point.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, we don't really like arguing about with you. You actually can back up and just not call me a moron.
Right.
And see, I think that's part of the problem is too many people don't know the facts, don't know the story.
Yeah.
They're just like, you're an idiot. You're a moron. You need to die. You need to – well, you don't have an argument. You can't win.
Right.
And I think that's the problem. I think when people are intelligent enough to go, this is my side, I see your side. I don't disagree, but would you like another piece of steak?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's that kind of...
Thank you. That's exactly how I feel. And I really do. And I think that honors what this country is all about, is that. Because it was never intended. I mean, even our forefathers, the fathers of this country... You know, our founding fathers.
You mean those racist slave owners?
Those racist bastards.
Those white privilege.
But I mean, really, the founders of our country intended us to be able to have these opposing, you know, viewpoints and opinions and ideas. And, you know, I mean, that's how things, you know, that's how things evolve. And hopefully we will evolve from this in a
human evolution
direction.
Would be great about now. A little, just a little spurt of human evolution.
Yeah, instead of Devo.
Yeah.
De-evolution.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we're at an hour. I love that you've done the podcast here with me, Mark Eddy.
Yeah, brother.
This was fun. I'm glad you brought your guitar because we would not have heard Heavy Metal, K-Tel Presents, the Easter Bunny song or whatever, the hopping
right.
down the die hopping down the but to close out, do you have a song, or I'd love to have you do one of your favorite things to close out the show.
Oh boy, well, let me think, man. Comedy wise I mean, why not do something funny, you know? That's what I say. So we're talking about conversations, and this is a song that I closed with last night, actually.
Oh, I love this song. I do.
It's based on a conversation that I heard, that I overheard in a Denny's one night.
Uh-huh.
So you can imagine. Well, I want a job where it's not so wrong to walk around naked all day long. Where my coworker is a smoking hottie. She makes me tan and shave my body. We don't talk about politics or war, just who's doing who from whose back door. You never cross a line or go too far. It's the life for me. I want to be a porn star.
Oh, yeah.
Porn stars live the life of luxury. There's Peter North, there's Ron Jeremy, Amber, Gina, and Ginger Lynn are rocking my world at the AVN. It'd be great, it would rock, all the girls stroking my guitar. I wanna be a porn star. I don't mind testing for STDs, I'm easygoing.
I'm easy to please. I'm living the dream and getting paid. Showing up late, still getting laid. This is one career where the boss don't mind if he catches a glimpse of my behind. Sexual harassment's always tolerated, but porn star's life is highly underrated. Yeah. Jenna Jameson would know me. She would never miss. Just one chance to blow me. Hey, blow me a little kiss. Yeah, it'd be great. It would rock all the girls riding on my car. I wanna be a porn star.
Yeah.
I wanna be a porn star. With my leading lady looking deep into my eyes, saying, oh. I wanna be a porn star. And though I really love playing my guitar, you know the life for me is to be a porn star.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what? Before you go, I got a request, because there's another one that you do that I just thought of that I really like. And is it Booty Call?
Oh, yeah. That's it, man.
Yeah? Can you
my
do
boo.
That?
My boo. This is an anthem for all you single people out there.
Yeah. Sing along if you know the words.
You're the one I always turn to. You're a friend, but so much more. I could call you anytime at all. You'd open up your door, 'cause you're my boo. You're my boo. My little boo. My booty call. Hey, no dinner in a movie. I don't take you home to mom. But between 2 and 4 a.m., man, we get along. You're my boo. You're my booty call, yeah. You're my booty call. My late night lover. My bam chicka wow wow. Anytime I need a smile, you know I do the vibe. My booty call, yeah. You're the apple of my eye. Hope I don't get a DUI. For my booty call. That would suck, right? You're a hot, sweet little looker. And you're cheaper than a hooker. You're my booty call.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Eddy right there. Mark Eddy.
Thank you, man.
Good night.
Thank you.
Los Angeles.
Good night.
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Before you go, still got this on. Tell them how to find you. Twitter, your Twitter, Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Comic Mark Eddy is my Twitter. Facebook is just facebook.com/comicmarkeddie. Just look up Mark Eddy, MarkEddie. I'm there. Find me, friend me, follow me, but don't poke me.
Yes, don't poke.
No poke.
His wife doesn't appreciate that.
No
Thanks
poke.
For doing the show, Mark. So until next time, God bless America, and
That's
go
right.
listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I bid you adieu.
In the basement of the mud flap house, flapping and poo, and their underwear thing rings and news, and poo licks herself, and flap contemplates manly things. He thinks about guns and trucks and stooges three, men and boys, and that doesn't sound right. He thinks about booze and bacon and power tools. Come with me, let your mask you leave. Oh, won't you come with me and remask you leave?
Aloha!